Donald Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm quiet. You are too?
Good. I'm good, man. I'm good.
Oh, I bet.
I'm cool and quiet. More that's cool than I like to be, quite frankly.
That's what I get at you. I can get at you just now. Yeah. Right?
All right.
But I can bring that last, right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with what you were saying to the lady there pertaining to the comparison between me and
Verla.
But you see, circumstances sometimes just cause some people to fail and some people to race to the top. You see, in Mia's situation, she lost the bracket when before we had the real serious crisis of, you know, the overthrow of Sandy Ferb with some of the ministers or whatever and thing. So it was plenty back burner then, right? But then things changed. Went on after, became the leader, and there was riding on the Baptists, their party was riding on the crest of a wave. So from then, Mia could have positioned herself for any eventuality, especially one that would always be in her favor. And she has cemented her place down there. Whereas, in Verla's position, she came in, she was rejected from 2008, but she came in when the Democratic Labour Party was under, because they should have lost the 2013 election. So she was always under that pressure. You understand? So I could sympathize with her along those lines in saying that there really is no comparison. Two different situations. One made one situation made Mia what she was, and one virtually made Verla as though she would always be also around. That's so much for that. No, I would like to say this here to you.
Can I respond to you very quickly and tell you that I fundamentally disagree with you? Mia achieved two things in her 94 to 91 run. She was helped, I agree, at the political level, at the national political level, by Sandy Ferd and the implosion of the Democratic Labour Party. But more importantly, she cemented herself in her constituency by building a strong constituency base among those persons. I guess having the Ministry of Education meant that she was able to employ a lot of women working in education and in school meals and whatnot. But more than that, she started this EduTech program that essentially started to gallop and gained a lot of momentum. It had good funding from the international community, and she was able to do a lot of infrastructural work, and that helped her to build her base. For those reasons, I don't know if I agree with you that she fully relied on the Democratic Labour Party's implosion. I think that she built and she worked, she built her base within the party. The reality of what you're saying that is correct, though, is that she had opportunities, and the opportunity she had is that she was in government, as distinct from Verla, who was not in government, and indeed when the party was in government, she was excluded.
That is why I told you...
Mark, over to you.
Right, that's why I told you just now that there was two different scenarios. One scenario with Mia made her to have the opportunity to serve and to do what she did with her constituency and then with her ministry. Well, I can't get a ministry unless you're a parliamentarian or from the Senate.
Senator.
Right. So whereas now, Verla now had the opposite way. Because in 2013, when she ran, the Democratic Labour Party was under enormous pressure. Okay? Under enormous pressure. And she was virtually really unknown.
She was also running in a seat that she could have won.
That was predominantly a Barbados
a Democrat Barbados Labour Party seat.
Right, so
the Democratic Labour Party ever won? I think they probably won a box in that constituency once, but it has never really been a constituency that the Democratic Labour Party has done well in.
Right, so that's why I tell you you could forgive her, and there's no comparison at all, as I alluded to before.
So anyway, if we were going to look at it, what would you say is a strategy that would be appropriate for her? Because she's not starting out like Mia Motley. She doesn't have the advantage of being a member of parliament, being in a ministry with money. She doesn't have those benefits. She's starting out, and to me, her single benefit was the fact that she had no baggage politically. So, what does a person entering do in terms of strategizing with the assets that she has, the main one being the fact that she's young, she's a woman, and she has no kind of political baggage in terms of being associated with the previous government, I would say. You know, how would you strategize on her behalf? Yeah.
You know, I do not go into this part, but as she's a woman in this, I don't go into that part at all. I look at people as human beings, right? I'm saying to you that one of the mistakes that she made when she was elected as the leader, but because she's leader of the opposition, right? One of the first things she should do is to try to embrace everybody. When I say embrace them, I mean not really so much embracing the old heads that were beaten so badly, but bring a new dimension to it. For instance, the young people that are around you, start assigning these people to canvas certain areas very, very early. Even if it's three, you send them one area, you select the best out of them. And you will continue because the people, the youngsters will believe that they have a leader, a chance with a leader that is looking out for their development. And it's just like a young West Indies cricket team with a young captain. You must be able to embrace those who are around you, who are now coming into the fray. The older heads, you maybe privately could seek serve certain political advantages, get advantages for them because of their experience. But the point is you must expose the young material you got to the constituents. I think that is where the Democratic Labour Party right now is falling down, because had she done that a year and a half or so ago, right now her presidency would have been cemented in such a way, because for instance, I do not believe, right, that George Pilgrim, if that had happened earlier, would have opposed her. I don't believe it. But so much for that. I just want to go on to this thing. I don't want to be lost.
That last part I agree with fully.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, Peter, the other thing I want to get to you last. I want to make an appeal to the young men in Barbados. I have been noticing the trend of this COVID results. And I see right now, up to yesterday, it was about 700 females and about over 1,000 males. And I want these young men to understand that they have a duty to protect the families and the loved ones, especially the elderly, within the homes. This trend tells me some very, very funny things, and I've been monitoring it all along. Because even when you hear people on the program, I didn't hear you, only boy I hear differently was Dennis Johnson, but everybody's saying, you going around boat, and then where you go home and met the old lady sick. Never the old gentleman. The old lady sick. Now, my appeal to these men is for this reason. If they continue down this path, and let me say, God forbid, it was so devastating that it wiped out a lot of these men, what going to happen then? Who really going to protect this country? Who really going to fight and protect these young people that we got? I want them. I watch them and see things going on as though they don't care. And I'm saying to you, I hope that Fabian Sargent, the president of the Men's Association, understand these things. Get up there and start to talk to these men. These men really want talking to. Because when you look at it, what is happening now with this trend? You remember late last year, one of your moderators, the lady that was over the Water Authorities one time, she was on yesterday. I can't remember her name.
Joanne Hick.
Yeah, she was on the program boasting that the Prime Minister of Barbados and New Zealand, these four women, got mothers and the other people ain't got none. I want to know who will be the boss now, because I tell myself that them people conquering the chickens before the hatch. That way, tell just now. I don't want to get into this man or woman business. I look at people as people and done with that full stop. Because if a woman could do a better job, you should the job. If a man,
but what's the argument that you coming with though? Because I you lost me a little bit.
No, I can tell why he lost you.
Bring it home.
This is why I can lost you, because you are a feminist. I am not. I'm saying is this.
But that's your loss, not mine.
No, not my loss. My loss.
You can be a feminist too.
No.
You can be a feminist too.
No, my man. Listen, I ain't lost nothing. I am saying to you, why all of a sudden you could start with to say that these people got morals and the other people world leaders ain't got none? What is that telling me? That's going back to tell me that I made a snails and puppy doctors?
No, but I don't understand it. I'm not suggesting that Verla, that she can be a leader because she's a woman. You got that impression?
No, what, but that has always been your idea.
No. Sir, listen. Sir, that is not true.
Let me go a little further, right? You have said on this program a few years ago, even when it wants to select a lady, you select think because she's a woman. That's what you said. Verla.
Yeah.
Right. So
and you know why? You know why? David Thompson went on record as saying that he supported the idea of the Democratic Labour Party running with a slate of candidates that was up to half women. And he also supported the idea of having women in what he called winnable seats. This is consistent with the Beijing platform, the Beijing platform that proposed a 30% candidates thing. You would remember that every time David composed the Senate, he would always ensure that there was a woman in the Senate because he felt that that's the least he could do to bring the 50-50 split. And he struggled to find attractive female candidates. I had said when David died, I thought that a good tribute to David's desire to advance the cause of women in the Democratic Labour Party was to make sure that you replaced him with a good woman and a woman that had a political future. And that was the reason why I said to Verla, because Verla was a young, politically attractive woman, and I thought that it would be a good tribute to David's principle that he wanted to increase the presence of women in the Democratic Labour Party.
The fact is, and these are the historical facts of that same decision, which of the women was placed in a winnable seat?
Mara?
Pardon?
Mara?
No. She wasn't there at the time. He remember, he was still alive, so it can't be Mara.
The only woman that they had in the winnable seat would have been Dr.
The woman
Sukou.
From St. Andrew. Sukou. Cool. And the woman from St. Andrew.
What was winnable about that seat?
That's what I tell you. But he placed her there. And it was
no, but it wasn't seat. A winnable seat.
Right. So you don't go into the more coffee. We ain't got a lot.
No, My view continues to be that when we talk in gender and politics, the Democratic Labour Party has a lot of questions to answer.
Okay.
Sir, as I compare the two political parties over the years,
right.
If we just talk in gender, the Democratic Labour Party has performed poorly. And this is even before David Thompson came in. Look in the days. The Democratic Labour Party had a woman in Parliament before the Barbados Labour Party had a woman in Parliament. Why did they make Gertrude Eastman a member of a minister? She could have been a minister.
Could have been.
Right? Right, but she wasn't. The DEPA didn't make her a minister. And then it fell to Tom Adams to make Billy Miller the first minister. Okay. And then you see you come down through the years, somebody like Carmita Fraser, whose work we celebrate and we're still celebrating. Carmita to run against Henry Ford?
I am saying to you, Peter, that the feminists in this world want to lead. The feminists in this world want to lead. And based off what your friend said last year, that she do, it's all right, we got a female prime minister, yes. But we want a female prime minister who thinks like a woman. So the fact remains, as far as I see it, the feminists just would like to see 30 candidates in the House Assembly, that 30 to all 30 there are women. Because they don't want women that distinct for both. They want women that distinct only for women. That is as far as I see it. And that is what it really is. Good. Let me go to the last point. Hello? I read your article on Sunday, right? And it was talking about the incident there with the white man, you know, the nasty words and nasty language you use against people, whatever. But you know, towards the end of your story, you went on to the gentleman from Christchurch, your friend, Dennis Lowe. Okay, hold on. I on the phone. Okay, I come in now. Go on. I come in. Go get some drink. Yeah, you went on to Dennis Lowe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you compared the victimization, or what you would call it, of how this, like, gentleman act towards what he said about same sex and whatever and thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also said it. That's all he's saying. That's all he's saying, Peter.
I'm not with you on that. Sir, let me ask you a question. Do you think that those comments on the platform were acceptable? And do you think that the Democratic Labour Party needs to set the record straight regarding those kinds of comments and similar comments that were made up in up by the stadium?
In previous conversations with you, I said that including the women of the Democratic Labour Party, that should have come out and distance herself from them comments. And so the public of Barbados have held them responsible too. I said so on this program. Because that's what you want. This is not what you want on a political platform. It was disgusting. And I know for a fact that a lot of Democrats, their party supporters, don't mind who were going to vote for them. A lot of them did not feel good about those comments.
So, sir, my question then comes, let's bring it forward now to what's going on currently. I mean, Dennis is waving his finger at me, but we ought to get this out of the way, right? Sir, he's throwing his fist, right? Sir, let me take a break and come back. You stick a pin. We can take a break and when we come back, we can finish this up.
Listen.
You gotta finish this. You stick around. Yes, sir. We're back at you. You still there?
Yeah.
Right. No, a quick question. I'm saying that if it is that the Democratic Labour Party felt short of the glory, would it not have been in their interest to say, look, when we step out this time, we come in on a different basis now. So we leave in the past behind. In an environment like that, how does Dennis Law get an endorsement and Simon not get an endorsement? Bearing in mind that when the meeting took place up at the stadium, Simon's presentation, his contribution as chairman, was, to me, he was the only one of the few people that spoke in a way that was complimentary. The meeting went downhill, and to say that he does not have the stuff that is needed to make a candidate, but Dennis Law has, even though Dennis Law has not publicly apologized for anything that he said in the campaign, suggests to me that the Democratic Labour Party hasn't learned a lesson. Final word from you.
Yeah. Well, my response to that would be this here. Nobody that ran in the last election, are you talking about, we know who they are, should never be be a part of what is this new process. And the boy Simon, I believe that he's one for the future. And if you could swap a person like him for a person who has done the moral fabric of Barbados so much damage, something is definitely wrong. That is why I told you from the beginning.
Okay.
I told you from the beginning that Verla should have bring these new candidates, put them out into the field, and you can stamp on the outside. I mean, the ones that get me by the last time, put them on the outside, and if they feel like Lenin support after that, they could do it. But we want a new slate, a clean face, and not one with the mask on.
Yeah. All right. And not one with the mask on. We end our conversation on a good note. I think that we agree where that is concerned. The person that I am still liking most out of the ones that are remaining is Ryan Walters.
He seemed to be a fella that got his head on the right track.
Well,
they must keep away from those type of individuals, though, right?
I hope that he don't get cut too.
Bad boy.
Yeah, that's the concern. All right,
sir. It would be a sad thing.
It would be, yeah. All right. Thanks for calling. It was good chatting with you. We have 10 minutes remaining on the program. I think there's still quite a few people on the line, so let's see if we can get a couple of them in. I have incurred the wrath of the producer today by over talking with the last couple. So good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon, welcome, 4341790. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, welcome.
Yes, Peter.
Hey, afternoon. Hello, ma'am. How are you doing?
Yes, no, I was the person that was speaking to you earlier that got cut out.
Oh, okay.
But fortunately, I gave up came for the last 10 minutes. However, I would
lovely.
Well, I would have spent my earlier time speaking of Orla, and I didn't worth speaking about her anymore. This is what I want to say. Mm. I realize that they're highlighting the nurses, and they are doing a fantastic job in the light of the pandemic. But I also want to say that you cannot have a chain and leave out some of the links. It will become too short. So you see the ambulance service and the orderlies, you should highlight those persons too. They too are doing a fantastic job. I had reasons to be at the hospital yesterday, and I encountered an orderly that went beyond the call of duty to make sure that every patient there was satisfied. So I think they need some attention paid to them too. So I want to say I highlight all the ambulance service workers and the orderlies at the Queen Anne's Hospital, including the guards that at the front desk. I want to say they too have their part to play, and they are doing a fantastic job. Thank you, Peter.
Okay. All right. Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate hearing from you again. Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Okay. Well, let's see if we can get another call. 434-1790. Good afternoon. Okay. I can't believe that we have no more calls. It's not 52. And we have no more calls. We had so many earlier in the day. Maybe I can get through some of these WhatsApp messages that I have. One lady is basically suggesting to me that when the truth is told, the reality is that the Democratic Labour Party has been unkind to several good female candidates over the years. She's asked me not to identify herself for reasons that are obvious to both she and I. But certainly there are several female candidates that have been abandoned over the years, and the feeling is that the Democratic Labour Party could have done better to bring women to the front. And as I said earlier, when I look back to people like Carmita Fraser, I realize that the DLP did have talent. Gertrude Eastman, they did have talent that they could have promoted, but they chose not to. Another comment that came regarding the whole question of me identifying Prime Minister Motley as a colossus. And the suggestion is that if I comparing her as a colossus to borrow Tom Arthur, she is not yet there. Well, let me just say this in her defense. I think that a political colossus exists on several different levels. And certainly, Barrow would have had his political level in that he won three terms, and he's the only person before Arthur that won three terms. Ironically, his were between pre and post, while Arthur's were all in post-independence. So then Arthur also was a colossus in his way. Tom Adams had his achievements that were of a policy nature and were quite significant in that regard. And certainly Prime Minister Motley has work to do. But if we just look at her political performance, and I think that we can agree politically that she's certainly off to a good start in that she's become the first leader that has won all the seats. And, you know, from that perspective, I would say that she has already written her name on history's page. There are other issues, of course. There are other ways in which she has. If we look, for example, at her political ascension in terms of the fact that she's one of very few MPs over the years who has gained popular support every time she has run, with the exception of 2008. And even in 2008, she was the best performer within the Barbados Labour Party, even better than the person who led the Barbados Labour Party in 2008. So there are several levels on which we can assess. And I think that when we go through and we look at the comparative performance, there'll be ways in which many of them would be. But certainly I would agree that she has a lot more to achieve in terms of leadership. And we'll see how that unfolds. We have a call. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. Am I on the air?
Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good. Not too bad.
To you, Mr. Wickham, do you think that the country is ready for a reopening?
No, sir, I'm not really in a position to say. I would like to leave that to the experts who are looking at the numbers and so on. The last report that I saw in terms of numbers scared the daylights out of me. And I don't know whether that was because several days were banked up or what, but they would know better than me.
My thing is that, do you think that would be defeating the purpose? My thing is that if you're going to close the country down, and normally when I call, I just call because I really, really am concerned. Don't you think that that would be defeating the purpose of opening back, seeing the spikes of the cases still so high, and you're going to open back the country after 2 weeks? It makes no sense then closing it in the first place. When you agree?
Well, so I don't know if I agree. I think the decision to open and close the country has to do with cases. It also has to do with the extent to be able to manage the closure. When you get to a stage that you're concerned that the closure is doing more damage than leaving the country open, there's a balance that is very delicate that has to be maintained. And I don't believe that Barbados will reopen, boom, all of a sudden. But I believe that there may be some opportunity for some level of reopening to take place over the next in the next phase. But frankly, I don't believe that when the 18th comes, everything will just boom reopen. I don't think so.
Right? I think that would be because.
All right, sir. But sir, let's leave it to the experts to decide and see how it goes. We have another call. Good afternoon and welcome.
Yes,
good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. I'm great, sir. Yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing well. Just two brief comments. One, I think the time has come for us to stop when we are giving out care packages and other acts of charity, especially directed by the government. I think we have enough schools and churches to see my people lining up next to the road with trucks and all that. I think we need to make that look better. In other words, there's no need for people to be lining up by the side of the road going to a truck because they're poor. I look like you and me. The second thing, I'll pick it up with you another time.
You think that's because they're poor?
I think I listen. I'm just saying that this is we have come along too long to have people who are destitute and vulnerable and depending on the state to be going to a truck, line up with their children behind them, taking care packages. I understand what I agree with the care packages and all that, but I just think we need to do things better and give to some more things.
Sir, I'm sorry. I don't believe that anybody who is receiving a care package is destitute. I think that we're having mobility issues in terms of people being open and able to help themselves. And the care packages are to help them. You're suggesting that people should go to church or school and pick up the care packages, but that's defeating the purpose. You're trying to get people to remain at home. The best way to take a care package to them is to take them at home. So you and I are on a different thing on this. Final message I have to read from Colin. He's telling me, and it's not Colin Jordan, the person is telling me that Verla will be the candidate in St. Lucie. And in St. Lucie, there's a massive swing away from the Barbados Labour Party to the Democratic Labour Party on account of Verla de Pisa. I had to read that one because it's certainly not consistent with the information that I would have brought, but I guess we shall see. So that caller gets the last word today, and I want to thank all of you for calling and making the program what it was. Special thanks to Mr. Dennis Johnson for taking us through, and I look forward, well, I hope we all look forward to a good weekend. It will be a quiet one, but nonetheless, we can still try to enjoy it. We have a special 14th, Sunday the 14th, Brass Stacks program where we'll be sharing the love on Sunday. We do hope that all of you will enjoy, join us to help share the love. We'll be back. Take care and all the best.